Do the disco.
Welcome to DL Gaming. I'm Bobby.
I'm Nick.
I guess Chris isn't going to talk. He's talking later this episode, but I guess not right now. I'm Emilio. How are we doing, everybody?
How are we doing? Second week in February. The Super Bowl happened. I never realized that the Super Bowl happens until like the day before.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I was this week, this year.
Don't know who's in it. Don't know who the halftime show is. Don't care, really. I just zero interest. I say this as I'm wearing a Rams t-shirt too, by the way.
That's a Rams polo, dude. That's the next step up in fandom.
It is, yeah. This is actually a very nice shirt, though. It's so comfortable, fits really well, breathes. Yeah.
So you're a Rams fan?
No, somebody gave this to me. And I try to wear a hoodie over it so people don't like, hey, go Rams. I'm like, sure.
Whatever you say, man.
Yeah.
Hey, go Rams. And you're like, no, I'm a fan of Rams apparel. Yeah. Don't get it twisted.
Just the shirt. What city do they play for, by the way?
Oh, dude.
L.A., I think. I think it's L.A.
Yeah, it's L.A.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. Side by side with the Chargers, I guess.
With the LA Chargers?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think.
Formerly known as the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah.
The San Diego Superchargers.
Speaking of which, I am tearing down their former, not physically, but I am overseeing, or I'm there, part of the general contractor, helping them out. We're tearing down the old stadium, the Chargers Stadium. And it is cool, man. Do you see the picture I sent you?
Mm-hmm.
It totally looks like a scene from Half-Life 2, like when you see all those things going. That's what it looks like. That's all that's left. I would say about a quarter of it is left.
It's incredible, man. So many memories. Qualcomm Stadium.
So
Jack Murphy.
Yeah. They put me in the front gate. And basically just stand here for a week and figure out how things work. So I'm keeping the riffraff out, basically. No less than 15 people stop in the middle of the road, get out of their car, and try to take pictures. But, like, we have a 10-foot-high fence, and there's semis just barreling out of there because they get paid by the load. So they're just fucking going, breaking the law constantly. And these people are, like, trying to go in between the semis and take pictures. And that's basically my job, is to stop the death. Don't.
Keep people from getting run over.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm doing. And every single one says memories. Like, no matter what they say, whether they have questions or whatever, it's like, so memories here. Hey, do you have memories here? Every single, all 15 of them drop that word in the...
Memories. Yeah. Yep. I mean, it's a landmark in San Diego, especially if you've been here for a while. Like, everybody as a kid has had to have gone out there and just baked in the hot sun. God, there's no shade at that stadium at all. It was so bad. When they moved downtown, it was so much better.
It looks like the new one doesn't have any shade either, but it's modern. I don't know what they're doing about shade.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I speak about it as a baseball stadium, but I forget that the Chargers continued to play at Qualcomm Stadium for years after the Padres moved downtown. But anyway, enough sports.
San Diego.
Enough sports ball.
Sniper, can we get a Jurassic Park like background noise of like dinosaurs and shit whenever these two old bastards start talking about memories?
God damn it, dude. That's the one sound effect I don't have. I'll work on it though.
No, I'm just kidding. No, it's actually super sad to see. I've been there and I've actually driven past it a couple times when I do visit in San Diego.
Wow, sounds like you have a real connection there, Nick.
I passed by it once or twice.
Well, we do have something important to announce. Starting in March, we are going to be starting a new podcast about movies. You may have known if you are a Patreon subscriber, first of all, thank you very much. But we have exclusive content called Movies on the DL, where Emilio and I discuss one movie. We are actually going to be making that free for everybody, and we're going to be doing it twice a month. That'll be its own separate feed. And yeah, it's coming in March, man. It's going to be exciting. And the good thing is, you know, we've spent a lot of time on this podcast going on about movies. And I know not everybody likes that. Some people don't care. Some people love it. But I think it's going to help us kind of segregate the topics of the podcast. So we'll be able to focus completely on PC gaming, a little bit of console and mobile on this podcast. And then if you do want that extra stuff about movies, then you can tune into the other podcast.
Yeah, now that Nick is on pretty much full time, we're filling it. He can fill up the gaps that I was missing because I was working so much. And also going on with the Qualcomm thing and working there. I have a lot more free time now. I'm working just like 40 hours a week and work is 20 minutes away. So back to regular life, man. I was killing myself there for a while.
Cool.
I can't wait to recharge on, like, my watch told me, you know, it has health shit and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, you're sleeping again. Like, good job. Like, here's 500 points or whatever. I'm like, yeah, thanks, watch.
Wow. Computers are running our lives.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about some video games. On the radar, this is our section where we talk about games that we want to play but haven't played yet. And first up is King of Seas. We've got a channel for this in the Discord, by the way. I believe Warconius posted this one. But King of Seas, it's a pirate game. I talked a few weeks ago about how I absolutely loved Sid Meier's Pirates. A little old, but totally holds up. This looks like basically a new version of it. When I first looked at it, I was like, is it a Sea of Thieves type game? I couldn't quite figure it out, but no, it's a single player action RPG. It's got naval combat. It really looks a lot like it's trying to recreate Sid Meier's Pirates. It's going to be a tough job because that game was just stellar, but I'm interested. How much is this game? If you could scroll down. It's coming out very soon, February 18th, 2021. No price yet, apparently. It's on the wish list, though. I'll keep an eye on it. I love pirate games, and I love pirate games that do it right, too, where you actually feel like you're a pirate.
$39.99, I'm going to go with.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's single player, so I'm wondering how they're going to... They've got to have a lot of content. Like, there's got to be a single-player campaign or, like, some sort of game loop or something where it keeps you spending enough time in there. But, yeah, I could see $40 for that game.
Open world with a campaign that runs through it, I'm going to guess. But you could probably veer off. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm guessing. That's what I would do.
Yeah, side quests and stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I'm excited about that.
Have you played Assassin's Creed Black Flag?
In fact, that is one of the only Assassin's Creed games I've played. The only Assassin's Creed game I've played. I played a little bit of the other ones, but just couldn't get into it. Loved Black Flag.
Yeah, it's one of the best ones ever.
That's what everyone tells me. And it kind of sucks because when you play what everyone says is the best one, you don't really want to go out and play the other ones.
Mm-hmm. And they're so time consuming, too.
Yeah, they really are. Yeah, I did enjoy that game. All right, what about you guys? What do you got?
So, first of all, I want to give a shout out to Jens in our moderation channel. He's like, hey, guys, maybe you should check out On the Radar. I knew that we had brought back On the Radar. Obviously, we've been doing it for about 3 weeks. I did not know that the text channel was back and people were posting shit. I just hadn't checked.
Oh, yeah, that was the whole thing.
Yeah. So, I'm glad, and there's a ton of stuff in there, and I'm glad that you guys are using it now. This is not from that, but I do have things from there later. Slasher's Keep is a procedurally generated first-person roguelike dungeon crawler. I got all that out without an So, and it's cel-shaded as well. So I pretty much said everything that it's... Like, all those things are just checklists for awesomeness for me. Like, I love every single thing that I just said, and this game put it all in one. The reviews are like 87% on Steam. And yeah, I haven't checked it out yet. I bought it. I have it installed. I just haven't played it because I've been playing a few more things that I've been talking about. But just take a look at it. And if it wets your whistle, check it out.
$13.99, not too expensive.
Nope.
Okay. All right.
The art style looks interesting.
Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people playing this. 30 people playing right now. I mean, it's not terrible.
DL Gaming bump coming up.
31 next week.
One more game I wanted to mention. So we were talking a week or two ago about a game that was, it looked like Doom, but it was a roguelike. It was like old school Doom, but a roguelike. And I was talking to somebody on Discord this week, and they're like, oh, that already exists. There's a Doom mod. Of course there is. There's a Doom mod for everything.
Yeah.
But there's a Doom mod called Doom RL Arsenal. So it gets very confusing, dude. There's so many mods out there. So pardon me, but I'm going to try to explain this mess. Doom RL, Doom Roguelike, is its own mod. And that is like a top-down roguelike.
Okay.
Very, very much like the original Rogue game.
Oh, okay.
They are remaking that into a game called Jupiter Hell, and that is on Steam. I don't know what the situation is there. Wasn't interested in that. Doom RL Arsenal is the actual first-person shooter. It's Doom, but it's a roguelike.
Okay.
And then on top of that, you can pair that. When you mod Doom, you can add all sorts of packages. So you can throw in this other mod called Doom RPG, which adds more RPG elements to it. And people are saying that that's the best combination, the Doom RL Arsenal mod and Doom RPG.
It's crazy that two full conversion mods like that mesh.
Yeah.
Well, maybe because the game is so simple, but I wonder if it's the same guy or they work together. That's hard to believe.
I think there's some sort of history of working it out or taking the best from both or something.
Yeah.
I spent like an hour today, maybe just like researching all this, trying to figure out like how exactly to install this and run it, so everything's going to be working correctly. Cause it's been a while since I've ran mods on this, on Doom. It's been forever.
Are you going to be playing it on a pregnancy test?
Probably not, because you can now with GZ. I always use ZDoom. ZDoom was like the original emulator for Doom. You load up the WAD file and the mods. But now everybody's using GZDoom, apparently. And you can run Doom on Unity. At least that's what it says. So it supposedly looks a lot better and more lighting and all the benefits from that that game engine. So yeah, I mean, I might check this out, but at the same time, like I'm spending so much time like researching all these, you know, it's modding, right? Like, so you got to research all these things. It doesn't work. You have to Google it, figure out why there's not really a lot of help out there. And then at the end of the day, I'm kind of like, kind of rather just pay $10 to play that other game that's already got everything all set up and ready to go with kind of like a streamlined, like everything's made to work together and go and I don't know, function properly. Cause when you're throwing these mods together, you always run into like little weird things and you know, who knows what.
There was a long strain there where I was modding Skyrim way more than I was playing it.
Mm-hmm. That's what happens with modding. You just
get into it sometimes.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I can remember that game we talked about last week. That was the Doom roguelike.
Yeah, I don't remember either, but on that note, Ziggurat 2 came out or is about to come out. Hmm. I saw it. I believe it has good reviews, if I remember right. Can you bring it up, Sniper? I want to throw it on the radar, and I forgot. Ziggurat 2. But meanwhile...
Ziggurat 1 was a great game. I loved that, but I really didn't take it as far as I thought I would. I don't know. That's one of the games that I felt like I still needed to come back to.
No, you don't need to with Ziggurat 2. It's not your dad's Ziggurat.
No. Well, this looks basically the same. Better graphics, but about the same. I mean, it was... I thought this was the best out of all those first-person shooter roguelikes, honestly. Like, better than Immortal Redneck and... God, I can't remember which other ones.
Better than Gunfire Reborn?
Well, this is single-player.
Yeah, this is single-player. Gunfire Reborn, I go back and forth on. I really like that game, but then sometimes I'm just like, this is just, it's a little too random for me. Like, I wish it was a little more skill-based. And yes, the first-person shooting in Gunfire Reborn is skill-based, but it's just really just a roll of the die on what you're going to get when you get your Ascension Scrolls. I complained about it forever a few episodes ago. I'm not going to go over it again.
Yep. Welcome to the roguelikes, buddy.
Yeah. All right, what else you guys got?
Nick?
I got one game for On the Radar, and it's arguably the biggest game announcement for the week. It's Total War Warhammer 3.
Dude, you can't say a biased statement like that, dude. I got Nine Witches Family Disruption coming up, dude. You never heard of that. Anyway, go ahead.
But just a heads up, this is the fastest selling game in China to date. And they've already paid for the game and more, because you can buy the whole game so far. So as far as details for this game, we get 6 new races, a 7th race if you buy it early, and then there's a confirmed 8th race that is coming as well, like about 4 months after the game comes out. The 4 of the races are each of the Chaos Gods and their followers. So you have Tzeentch, Nurgle, Khorne, and Slaanesh. The trailer is amazing and has some of the best CG I've ever seen, if you haven't seen it. Not only do you get these 8 races, but you get like the other 24 races that you get in the other 2 games if you own the other 2 games.
Oh, so is it same engine then? So graphically, there's not a whole changing?
As far as what they've said, and like, because they have an FAQ, they immediately put up the FAQ like within 2 minutes after they posted the video. And they've said it's an upgraded version of the engine, which I think is just fancy talk for saying it's the same engine.
Right.
A lot of people think they're just using the Troy engine, which is a little bit more fluid than the Warhammer engine.
A lot of times, I don't think they remake engines. You have like Unity, like 4.1, 4.2, 4.3. Like they just keep adding and, you know, improving on the same engine. Or like that Far Cry engine that they kept, they just eventually renamed, but it was the same engine.
Yeah. So what they've said is that like they've made the gameplay a little bit more fluid and less like move here, move here, move here. Okay, the battle has started, and it's kind of like a war of attrition. It's more active as far as what they said. One thing that they've added as far as like features and everything is that they're completely overhauling siege battles. And so we kind of got a taste of this in the latest DLC for the last game. Everybody didn't like siege battles in the Warhammer games because you just defended a city from one wall, and that's it. Like, although a city could be a circle or a square or whatever shape it is, you literally just defended the whole enemy's army on one wall. And so they've said that they're completely revamping the siege system. They're allowing people to put down traps and put artillery on the walls and things like that. So we're definitely going to see a big change with that. It's $59.99, your normal price for a AAA game. I've already bought it. Like, I'm not going to lie. I've already bought it. I'm super excited. I root for the bad guys, and the fact that there's 4 bad guy factions is amazing.
So, Nick, that's good. So you get the 24 races come packed in this game. Oh, you have to have bottom for it to be unlocked.
So normally what they've done in the past is like when the new game releases, like the month before the new game releases, they'll put everything that came out before it on discount. So like right now, I think if you bought everything at full price, it'd be like $340.
Oh, I see.
But like on average, like whenever they do like a quote unquote sale, like when they did the winter sale,
the last two
games, all the DLC for the last two games, it was, I believe, $56.99. And so, which is crazy.
Do you know if those races are getting updated for this iteration?
So yes, they've clearly stated that a lot of the races are getting revamped, rehashed, adjusted. They really are redoing some of the races so that some of them are just not one play type. Like, for example, there's a race called the Beastmen, and the Beastmen always play aggressive. Like, you always have to play aggressive. You always have to just run into the other team, and that's how you win. Thank you, JP Diddy, for the bits. As far as, like, one of the craziest things that Creative Assembly, the company that makes Warhammer, one of the craziest things that they've done for this game is that they have teamed up with Games Workshop. Obviously, Games Workshop likes the money that they're getting from these games, and they're selling a lot. But they are bringing a faction that has never even existed on the tabletop game into the game itself. And that is the civilization of Cathay. and they're essentially the ancient Chinese, like as far as like aesthetic and stuff. Like they ride dragons, they ride lizards, they have rocket artillery. So everyone's super excited to see that.
Especially the Chinese who bought a million of these copies already.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people are saying that they're pandering to a Chinese audience. Well, they're also making another race called Araby, which is a race that lives in the sand. And, you know, original concept here. They're humans that live in the sand, and they have like an Arabic influence, you know. Mm. So is that them pandering to the Middle East? No, it's just they want to put more human races because there's literally just two. So
gotcha. Cool, man. Hmm. I'm glad you're super excited about this.
Play it, man. Play it. Play I'll it, buy man. It next time it comes
Play
out.
It, man. What else do I got on here? Slay the Spire is on mobile. I don't know how many times I've talked about it. Like, why are these deck building games not on mobile? It's just, it's super basic graphics. I don't know why they more of them don't make the jump. Slay the Spire did. It is a little pricey at $9.99 on mobile, but I'm going to buy it. So hopefully I'm going to I'm putting my money where my mouth is, hoping that more developers will make this jump.
So interesting thing about this, I looked for it in the Google Play Store while I was on my phone. I couldn't find it. Then I saw the link. It was linked in Discord, mm-hmm. and it's right there, boom, on the Google Play Store. So I don't know if maybe because I got an old phone or what, but I also noticed that it was for sale on the on Humble Bundle. Not part of a bundle, but on the site, Humble Bundle. Hmm. See, it says right there, Humble Bundle. So I don't know if it has to be purchased through them or if it's something that can be purchased in your app store or even on a, because it's for Android. I don't even know if you can play this on an iPhone.
Mm, well, it's also on the, I believe it's on the iStore or whatever they call it. What do they call it? Whatever they call it.
Apple Store?
Apple Store. I believe it's on there.
It is on iOS.
But it is on the iOS, yes.
Okay.
It doesn't always have to be on Play Store for it to be on Android, though. You can buy things outside. I don't know mm-hmm. if that's the case here, but you can buy things outside.
It's only available in preview mode right now, so you can't even buy it. It literally just says app preview.
Okay. Did have a price on it, $9.99. I'll be buying it. That's a guaranteed thing to do when you, like, I don't know, at the DMV or anything. Like, I want something on my phone. I've been going through games probably one or two a week looking for something. I fucking hate phone games, man. I don't know what it is, but it just doesn't work.
It's funny you talk about phone games because one thing that I've been doing lately, which is, I don't know if I say it's a good thing or a bad thing, is using the World of Warcraft companion app. Mm-hmm. And like people are like, oh, it's its own game, but on your phone, and it impacts your character in the World of Warcraft world. Unfortunately, that is and isn't the case. There's essentially a currency, and you can send guys to do missions, and they bring back rewards and stuff. The issue is that the currency that's needed to send these guys out on missions, you can earn them in the missions themselves, but you have to actually log into WoW and turn those items in to be able to use that currency.
So they want you to go from the chair to the whatever, like to your phone, to your PC, to your phone for it, get it going, right?
Exactly.
I thought we had already gone through the whole companion app phase. I remember when those were getting really big and no thanks, man.
Do you remember when what's that game where it's like set in like Washington, D.C., The Division? Remember when The Division was like, we have a companion app that's for iPads only, and you can pilot the drone. And like, it was just, everybody was freaking out about it. And then like, things we scrapped a week before the game came out. Companion app.
I do remember we played an RPG, me, you, Chad, and Sam, where we were on our phones. And then there was a game going on the screen. Do you remember?
I don't think I played that with you, but I know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. It didn't do well. But it was a cool concept. Mm-hmm. It was like,
yeah, it was a cool idea.
It was almost playing Quiplash, but like an RPG with a story, and it wasn't like... it was serious.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, but I distinctly remember that.
Yeah. It was a cool idea. I hope somebody else tries it and pulls it off. Everybody has a phone. Even Bobby, the old man. Old man Bobby.
Not even a flip phone. All right, what's definitely not fried chicken ink?
This is basically for you, dude. The next two are for you. I put them on the list for you, knowing that you're going to like it.
Oh, I think I saw this.
Yeah, dude. What a great idea, dude. So you're basically, it's a sim game where you have a business that's a front for selling, I guess, in this marijuana, not meth. And it's a play on Los Pollos Hermanos from Breaking Bad. So you have a fried chicken. you have a fried chicken shop, but you're really selling weed out the back. What's going on. And I guess there's a lot of things that go into that, right? You have to keep up appearances and protection and all that stuff. Conceptually, great. The only thing that worries me about these things is, like, you're basically, if you get sold by the concept and you go in and it's just a shitty sim, you got doped in. This is something I feel like you have to wait for some reviews, but you have my attention. It's up to you now to fuck it up.
I think based off of just 3 seconds of the video, I think this is one of those games where it's like, oh, it's a fun sim game where you play two different lives, and then halfway through the game, it just fucking changes immediately, and then it's just a completely different kind of game. It seems like you have that sim part for a majority of the game, and then, like, there's a combat part, and they just revealed, like, oh, you can go to the gun store and buy guns and equip your guys with guns and then send them into the room.
Well,
and stuff like that.
Maybe. But I think part of the sim is maybe, like, territorial control. It might be something like, you know, I spend this much money on this assault on the next area over, and then it just plays out. But who knows? I don't know. Mostly, it's probably sim.
I think it looks cool. I think it looks funny.
Yeah, the graphics are really blocky, but in a cute way. Bobby, interested?
Maybe. I mean, like you said, when it comes to sim games, eventually, you spend so much time with them, eventually you look past, like, the theme of it, the skin, and you just, all you care about is the mechanics.
But the thing is, how, you don't know if you're going to enjoy the mechanics until you dive in, right? There's no way to know.
No, you wait for the reviews.
Yeah, but that doesn't really tell you if they appeal to you specifically.
I would wait for the reviews on something like this. You know, even though I'm looking very much forward to Evil Genius 2 World Domination, I'm still not pre-purchasing that. I'm waiting for the reviews on it, because it can, more so than other games, I think sim games can just be really bad. They can have a great appearance, absolutely, and then the core mechanics are just very poor.
Yeah.
So,
and even the mechanics could be right, and then the math is just wrong. Like, none of this makes sense. Like, you know, there's so many things that could break down.
Like, you hit a point with the game where, like, you've pretty much done absolutely everything, you know, after, like, a 20-hour period, and, like, you've pretty much saturated the game entirely. There's so many things that could go wrong with sim games. It's actually one of the harder games to make, in my opinion. So, I don't know. I'm always a little cautious when approaching these. But, yeah, it is a fun idea.
Yeah.
Let's get some quick sound here. This trailer's just too good. One sec.
This is fried chicken. And this is definitely not fried chicken. It's fast food joint. You'll create a...
You get the idea. It's good. Really good. It's good. Wow.
The next one is Nine Witches Family Disruption. It is a... I'm pretty sure it doesn't... out and say it, a point-and-click adventure set in World War II Germany, where they do some occult shit and alternate history pops up. And I don't know, I was looking at it, and it just reminded me of, like, Monkey Island and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, I think Bobby would be interested in this.
Yeah, this does look good. Yeah. I think I saw this. I know I've seen that artwork before, but the title didn't ring any bells.
Yeah, it's a weird title. The whole game is really weird looking. But yeah, I was like, ooh, Bobby's going to like this. We slide this down the bar to him.
It's been a while since I played a point-and-click adventure, and I have said that I really want to get back into one. So this game's $20. It already came out back in December. Reviews are pretty good.
Yeah, in the 90s.
Reviews are really good. I mean, not a ton of people playing this. 60, 80 reviews there. But, yeah, I mean, it looks good.
Awards of some sort.
I'm always interested in new point-and-click adventure games because it's such an old genre, and it's kind of one that people have kind of relegated to the past, and yet you can make a new point-and-click that's really good. We've seen plenty of I've seen plenty of examples. Nobody else here plays point-and-click adventure games. I've seen plenty of recent point-and-clicks that are really good. So, yeah, man, I'd probably, out of all the ones we've talked about, this is probably the one going on the wish list.
Well, actually, thank Jens. He's the one who put it up there. Cool.
Let's
get to games that we have played. Yeah, like how I did.
that's exactly what I say every week. He just took my line. I'll start it off because I just got one thing here. I didn't finally play. It just came out. The new update for Deep Rock Galactic, Update 33. It's finally here. Update 33 came out February 4th. And yet another excuse for me to talk about this game that I love so much. Approaching 600 hours on this game. It's serious. The new update is hard, man. It is really hard. I think it's because it's new and there's so many new things that I'm having to learn a lot of things. The new biomes, which are just like the new areas or maps that you can go into, they seem really dark, just like hard to light up and hard to see where you're going. They've got all sorts of new things to interact with. There's one that has these thorns everywhere, and you can hit some of them and they kind of retreat, but then they slowly come back. There's like claws that jump out at you and poke you. The Azure Weld, which is the kind of dark bluish map, kind of almost looks underwater. It's absolutely beautiful, extremely dark, and it's got these things called cave angels. We saw them in the video here a little ways back.
Like a manta ray.
They look like a manta ray. Yeah. And you can jump onto these things and use them like a hang glider, and you can actually control them. You can go up, you can go down. Like, it's a little clunky, but you can basically just sail across the map in one of these until you get shot down. What's absolutely hilarious is when somebody on your team's doing that and you just shoot and kill the cave angel and they just fall down. It's hilarious. Hasn't gotten old yet.
But I feel like a gunner on one of those could do some damage, huh?
You're holding on with both hands. Oh, you can't do anything with your hands while you're doing this. So transportation only. So I played a lot of this on Friday. You know, the usual guys on Discord that I play with, we all got on, we checked it out. We had a blast, played a lot, and played a little bit more later in the weekend. And it was really hard. We had some really good runs. And even my favorite mission that we ran, we lost. But it was still my favorite. We ran into a Korlock Tyrant Weed. I feel like Nick now. I'm just mentioning all these like weird names that nobody knows what they are. But like, it's a really hard boss. It's very rare. I've ran into one maybe 10 times, probably less. And given as much as I play this game, that's not very much.
Yeah.
I've beaten it once or twice. Like, it's just always in a really bad position. And this was in the worst position. And
why go after it? Just because
it was in the way. We were doing a pump jack mission, and our last pump jack was right there. So it was like, well, we're either going to try to sneak it or we're going to fight through it. And we chose to fight through it. And it didn't work out well. We came close. Yeah. But yeah, it's a great patch. A bunch of people, like 12,000 people playing this game right now, at least when I was playing. So everybody's jumped back in, a bunch of new content, the new dreadnoughts, like these big tough bosses that are always in the game. They've redone them. There's now different versions of them, way harder fight now.
Good.
New Mactera, which are super annoying. The flying enemies.
Things, yeah.
Yeah. Very annoying. New skins, new dance moves, like a bunch of new content. Although in this patch, because they did so much, there were no balance updates for weapons. Because they said, we're just focusing on everything else. And I can see why. Like, other than the 1.0 release, I think this is like the biggest patch they've ever had. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so much new stuff.
Yeah. And so you got to see what's wrong and then fix it, right? And that's what the next patches are going to be. As far as like balancing and stuff.
Surprisingly,
like that.
I mean, yeah, usually they have a couple of hot fixes. And in this one, they had like one or two hot fixes right after to fix some important things. But honestly, this is one of the most stable patches too have come out. Like, it's been running
everything
real
you
smoothly.
Want.
Yeah.
And it's free.
Yeah. Yep. And they are really piling on the DLC, but it's all cosmetic.
Yeah. You owe it to them at this point to just buy some of those.
I'll wait till it's on sale. I want to support them, but I'm very cheap.
Nick, I don't think you know about this thing. So there's like the support us pack, right? Where you just like, you buy some stuff only basically just to support them, and that's it. Bobby waited for it to be on sale to support them. It's like, I love you guys, but I only love you this much, you know?
Bobby's like that that unfamiliar uncle that only shows up for like 2 hours, like twice a year.
Yeah.
Only to bring presents, but they're not really good presents.
They're not good presents. Hey, wait, I'm your only uncle, you fuck. No.
Yeah, but great game. Fridays is the day, man. Fridays is my gaming day. My schedule is like absolutely crazy right now, but it's doable. Like, as long as I stick to my schedule, everything's okay. But I'm doing so much right now, and Friday is like the day that I just get a ton of gaming in. So if anybody wants to play this, Lunar New Year sale coming up pretty soon, probably about another week here. If this goes on sale, absolutely get it.
Nick, what do you got?
For the first time, I've played Humans Fall Flat. Actually, that's a lie. I played Humans Fall Flat at a game conference a while ago in San Francisco, but the first time I played the quote-unquote live version, and I gotta say, pretty fun game when it works. Me and my other friend, so the reason why we played it in the first place is that it's on Game Pass. And so I got some pretty cheap friends that like are Bobby that won't buy things just to play with their friends. They'll just, you know, wait till it's free.
Yeah.
Or like 99% off.
Yeah. Wow, dude. Uh-huh. Wow.
And so they were like, hey, let's play this game. So I was like, all right. So I downloaded it. It's only like 1 gig. And I'm like, all right, this is fun. I made my character. I took a screenshot of my face and just put it on my character's chest. And we played the first level, and I had me and another one of the other guys had like difficulty where like we would beat the level, and normally when you beat a level, you drop from the sky into the next level. But what had happened was that we dropped to the sky on the same level we just beat, and
everybody else was
all together. No, we were all together, right? Two players could see the new level, while the two other players saw the previous level, but all the contact and all the like the collision was with the new level.
Nick, were you guys playing mods?
No, we were just playing the base game. Like, we were just playing like level one, like all that shit. And so I uninstalled and reinstalled. My buddy uninstalled and reinstalled. His got fixed and mine didn't. And so I don't know if it's something wrong with my computer. I don't know if it's something wrong with the game. But for something that's been out for so long, I don't want to trash it. It's obviously a fun game. Like, we did not stop giggling for like an hour and a half, 2 hours until one of us had a hop off. And so I hope they somehow fix it. Or I may have to look into some personal fixes, but hopefully things go well. Because I know they're still coming out with current content for this.
I had no idea that this has become a party game since last time I played it. Last time I played it, it was, I think, only two players, and you were going through pre-made levels. It was fun, for sure, but, you know, it wasn't much to it. I'm probably 90% of what I just saw was brand new. So, it's a lot of content.
It's 8 players now, and then there's new game modes. But the thing is, like, if the game's free on Game Pass, none of the DLC is free, though. That's the thing. And well, so if you kind of want the new, if you want the new full experience, you have to get it on Steam.
Yeah. Well, are you saying that the DLC isn't even available on Game Pass?
From what I've seen, I think you actually have to pay for it.
Yeah,
which might save you like a little bit of money from Humans Fall Flat itself. But you can find, like, I've seen Humans Fall Flat for like $6, $7.
Yeah. So. All right. Chris, I have been waiting all week for you to talk about Valheim. It's taken over the Discord lately. You're posting like a madman. People are asking me why I'm not playing. What? I don't even know what it is. Overwhelmingly positive, 11,000 reviews.
I don't know what happened to this game, but it's like the biggest shit ever. And I think this is what happens when a developer launches a game in early access and like treats it like a full launch that's playable kind of from day one, mm-hmm. instead of, you know, slowly releasing content and the first build is just like some janky alpha that people are like, eh, I'm not too certain about it. But yeah, this game is so fun. So it's a survival crafting game for up to 10 people on a server. And it's mostly you hang out with your friends, build a castle, and go hunting and kill bosses and try to level up your technology. Right now we're in the Bronze Age on the server. We only have a couple more ages to go. And the boss events are pretty fun because you need a lot of people. Everyone needs to be geared up. And it's like an adventure. They're super far away. Sometimes you have to go on a boat. Sometimes you're going like 20 minutes, dude. Like we're making halfway houses on the way to the boss. Damn. To like camp, eat, to stay buffed so we can go there. There's a couple things that make this game like kind of a little more interesting. So in most survival games, like you don't eat, you die. In Ark, I assume you don't shit, you die. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
In Valheim, all the survival mechanics act as buffs. So you're not penalized anymore. You're actually incentivized to hunt and eat when you're doing stuff like bosses. Mm-hmm. You don't have to. I just think like when I logged into the game and I found this out, my mind was blown. It's such a good idea. Why have survival games been punishing people this whole time?
So just to explain a little bit what Sniper was saying. So one of the key things that they incentivize you to do is eat different items.
Oh.
And so if you talk, Sniper can explain a little bit better because I only got to play like 3 or 4 hours of it.
But that incentivizes you to explore a little more and like not just harvest the same shit. Because I feel like once you figure something out, you just do that thing until it breaks.
I have my own like introduction story to this game, but I'll let Sniper talk about it first.
Yeah. With the food stuff, like, yeah, you are incentivized to explore different biomes because only certain food goes in certain biomes, and your max buffed health is you can have three. They have to be three different types of food that you eat.
Is it called the balanced diet buff?
What's that?
The food pyramid buff.
Yeah, the food pyramid buff. Yeah, your healthy Canadian diet. Make sure you have 2 parts dairy to 1 part wheat or whatever it is. Yeah. But and then if you're well rested, you gain more health. If you've slept on your bed recently, you gain more health. So there's all these things you can do to like be at your peak performance before you go do bosses and shit. Nick, how did you find this game? What happened? You just randomly showed up.
So, like, I saw everybody in the Discord. I didn't have really anything to do, and I was like, you know what? I'll buy it. Like, it seems like really fun. It may not have, like, the best graphics in the world, but just hop it. I didn't even buy the game, and I hopped to the Discord, and I heard how much fun everyone was having. So I was like, you know what? I'll pick it up. I think it's a game that me and Leslie are going to pick up and play on our own. The reason being is that, like, I think I kind of fucked up when I started playing this game, because when I hopped into the server, it was, like, day 36. And I'm, like, trying to get to you guys. And there's like goblins chasing me and shit. And I'm like 99% sure that the longer the days get, or like the more days that pass by, the more stuff spawns at night and the more stuff spawns in general and the harder they are.
Well, and, you might think that, but that's just because we fucked up and we built our base at the edge of the Dark Forest, which is where all the stuff spawns from. But anywhere else, like the game doesn't get harder. What happens is as you explore on the map, this is a flat earth, by the way, we're in like Norse heaven or something. It's not like real earth. So that's why all these bad guys in this mythology. And as we explore outwards from where we start, everything gets progressively harder. And then the dark forests are kind of like patched everywhere randomly in the map. It's procedurally generated. And then, we built on the edge of one, which probably fucked you up.
I found that was pretty awesome. Like, oh, look at this commune. Like, everybody's working together and building, like, cool-ass weapons and stuff, and they're fighting stuff. And then I was like, you know what? I got to try this game by myself. I want to see what happens. So I was like, oh, the server's still up. I'm going to build a house next to your house. It took me 2.5 hours to build a house. Like, and it's not big. It's not intricate. It's just, like, a normal-ass house. But a goddamn troll and like 30 of those stupid goblin things just kept attacking me. I'm like, all right, I'm killing everything, and like it's fine and all, but literally like this 30-foot troll just runs up to my house and whacks it once, and then half of my progress just dissolves into the ether, and I'm like, son of a bitch, dude.
Was it inside the city walls, Nick?
No, like,
why wouldn't you put it inside the city walls, Nick?
Because there was no room in the city walls. Okay, the commune walls are fucking full. Okay, like I wanted to build next to them. I literally built like 20 feet away from them.
Chris, nice work, dude. You made your place waterproof.
I know. Yeah, I fill up every available square, and so no, Nick, I have room at my base. I'm actually very offended. You did not want to live with me.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, but that's the thing. That I wanted to try it on my own. Like, I wanted to see how difficult it is without the whole gang helping you. And yeah, it's pretty hard, to say the least.
Yeah, it is tough, but yeah. We had an advantage because a lot of us started at the same time, so we were all having fun and figuring out the game together. The first time you chop trees like any survival game. Of course, you chop down the trees, but there's lots of like physics in this game. So when you chop a tree down, where the tree falls does damage.
Oh shit!
And Gummy's chopping down our like first tree because we finally unlocked the hatchet, dude. Before we're just gathering branches off. It took us like 2 hours to unlock this hatchet, by the way. So Gummy's chopping down this tree, and Kurt is right beside him, and he just fucking gets crushed, dude. And we're like, oh shit, the trees do damage, dude. The tree was huge. It came down. Gummy's like, timber. Everyone scatters. Kurt doesn't move. He gets splat. it was like moments like that where we were all together in a group that I felt like make it fun. And I'm sad that you were a late joiner, Nick, because yeah.
I had a lot of fun for the time I did play. And like there was a moment though I kind of had like a similar situation where I'm like, hey, do trees kill you if they fall on you? And you're like, yeah, it does. I was like, all right, cool. So I'm fighting the same troll that destroyed my house. He swings at me, knocks a tree over, and I'm like, all right, cool, that's fine. He swings at me again. The tree flies in the air and kills me. It's not even the troll that fucking kills me. It's the tree.
Jesus Christ, dude. I can't handle it. Okay, one more story about this game. One more story, then we can move on. But we go on this epic journey, dude, because we finally unlock like a Viking row ship, which is better than this dinky raft that we first built. And so we're on this Viking ship and we're sailing the seas. We see like Nessie in the background in like some darker seas. We're like, oh shit, better not go there. We're finding new lands. There's like the skeleton island. All five of us are on this boat. And this game is very unforgiving. Where you die, your stuff is dropped and you have to go back to the exact spot to get all your shit. And we're all on like the highest level stuff we have. We got our bronze weapons. We're shining in the sun. And Gummy sees this skeleton island and he's like, these don't look so hard. Let's go there. We get within like 5 feet of the island, dude, and our boat explodes. We all die in the fucking ocean. We're like, fuck, that really sucks. We're in shallow water or whatever. So we're like, okay, if we just go on land, maybe there's a land connection around this ocean. Because, yeah, it's not like realistic geography. There's like oceans, lakes. We're in Norse heaven or whatever. And so we try on land. We try for like, oh my God, dude, for like 4 hours to get our shit back. At least 4 hours on land walking. And only to discover there's no possible way to get there. And most of us die again on the way there. Because as you explore outwards, things get a lot harder. So, yeah, if you play this game, it's meant to be played with friends. It doesn't get easier or harder the more people you have on the server. Enemies don't scale or anything. And they're really hard to start. Like the big trolls that Nick's talking about, they're like 10 people tall. And they take like 100 arrows to kill. So play this game with friends. Come into the Discord. Join our server. And I don't know. I try to pitch this game to Bobby. I think Amelia's going to try it. I don't know. What are you guys feeling?
How much is it?
It's $20.
That's pretty good.
$20.
Question. Actually, go ahead, Bobby.
Well, I was going to say the server situation. So these are not dedicated servers. Somebody has to actually be hosting the game, and that game is saved on their account, correct?
Yes. But when you play the game, your character persists between servers. So whatever you do on your own, when you join someone else's server, everything on your body comes with you. So your structures obviously don't come over, but it's kind of cool that you almost go to your friend's worlds in a way. And right now, the central world, I'm hosting off my machine, and my machine hates me for it because it's been on for like 4 days straight. I just shut it off to do the podcast. Like, it's been running the entire time.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. Dude, just the story that like Curd and everybody else was there to watch the first tree fall down. Who cares that I killed Curd? That's hilarious. But you guys were all there. Like, it was a momentous thing. It sounds like, hey, we're chopping down our first tree.
It was true. Momentous. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fucking cool, man. That's really cool.
The shared experiences on this game, I think, are the best. Like, when we were trying to get our shit back from the ocean, we saw some really sweet... We saw a dragon on our way to get our... It was like a Lord of the Rings book or something. And you have just enough invested in the grind and your gear, I think, to really appreciate when there is a risk to lose your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's all really well done. Cricket and Gummy and all the rest of the Discord people have really been grinding on it. I think we just unlocked portals. So I don't know how much content is left. It's an early access game, but super fun.
If you got Gummy and Cricket on there, dude, they're just going to grind this thing away, dude.
Yeah, but now they're at war, dude. There's two warring camps.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's like the breakup of a bromance. I don't know. I want to take credit for it, but I'm sure lots of other people have to play in it as well. That might slow them down, right? If they're fighting each other, they can't focus on the grind completely.
Damn. Cool, man. A lot of great ideas here.
Wow.
I like the mixing of the, what do you call it? Play for keeps. Kind of like the whole, you know, those games where you keep all your stuff on your person and then whatever you gather that time you take with you. What's the Russian one you play, Nick?
Tarkov.
Yeah. So it has some Tarkov with it, with where like what you kill, you keep or whatever. But then this is co-op, which is, can you kill each other?
You can turn that off and on. Yeah.
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 We've just fooled around with it. I don't really. Yeah. That's on a roadmap. I'm not really sure that's like, I don't like the PvP. It shouldn't even be a focus. Like,
no,
there's
for sure.
No reason to fight each other when there's so much good shared experience to have in the game.
No, I totally agree.
And the world is, we've gone through like maybe 10% of it. And I've played 24 hours, or that's what Steam tells me, or something. So
that's awesome. Well, good find, dude. How'd you find the game?
Lots of streamers have been playing it. It's like blown up. So I just was like, oh, what's this? It looks so cool. It looks so cool. Even though the graphics aren't that good, the background and the night sky is art, like beautiful art. And then at night, the shimmering of the moon off the water. And in the morning time, the sunrise, like it's a very beautiful game, despite being almost Minecrafty. I think what's this called? Voxel?
Yeah.
Is this what that is?
Yeah. You should hit up Iron Gate AB and see if they want to talk to us.
Okay. Why not? This is their first game, apparently, and they've like, I'm just so impressed with this. Now Bobby mentioned that it's published by the same people who did Deep Rock Galactic. So I'm hoping their early access calendar, they have the resources to like stick to it and keep pumping out content like on time. That'd be cool.
What's your problem with this game, Bobby?
I don't have a problem with it.
Oh.
Yeah. We talked about it. We talked about it last week on the Radar. I think somebody posted it in the Discord or something. That's how I found out about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know, man. Crafting survivals really aren't my thing, but this does look great. But I have nowhere near the amount of time to really dedicate to this game to get the full experience. So,
well, it doesn't... Chris, so let's say I have 3 hours to play and you guys have put in 20 hours. Can I go into your server? You guys just gear me up?
We've done that to a couple people. You won't have kind of the cool first experiences, but the other cool experiences of exploring and beating bosses, and every boss you beat, you unlock like a new piece of small technology that you need to increase, whatever. It might be something random. One of the first things we did was we built like a cultivator, which is just something to plant like seeds. That was monumentous, but we had to beat a boss for that. And you beat all these sorts of bosses and they're all pretty fun. So yeah, we could gear you up. We could go on an adventure. We could just kill like one boss. Yeah. And I guarantee you that would probably be super fun.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. So your friends with less time can get in on the action. That sounds great. Because you don't level up your character, right? It's just gear.
Oh, you do.
Level up your,
oh. You do level up. Yeah. The more you, but it's not levels, like, and it's not really that much. Like, the more you swing your hammer, you become a better hammer swinger.
Oh, gotcha.
Right? Yeah. And it's like, percentage based. It's not huge numbers. We're talking about, like, one extra DPS, two extra DPS here.
Hmm. Nice.
It's like weapon proficiencies in WoW.
I don't think they do those anymore.
Not like they used to. I thought it was a reference that Emilio could get.
Yeah. Gotcha. I played Journey to the Savage Planet. I've always liked the art of this game ever since I first saw it. I didn't even know what it was. I'm starting to learn that I like neon colors in games. Like all the games that use neon colors, Neon Abyss or Rage. Like I really like the, I don't know what it is about it, but I dig it. Anyway, so this is a very weird game about... I guess you crash land on this planet and you go and scan things. It's a lot like, what's the Hello Games game?
What is that game?
God damn it. What's the game that fucking came out?
Fuck. Didn't like that game.
Oh, the one that disappointed and they had to redo it at all?
Yeah, now it's
No Man's Sky we're talking
about. No Man's Sky. So it's a single player No Man's Sky. Basically, you're going around, you're scanning things on this super weird planet. The more things you scan, the more blueprints your company sends you. And then you can take material that you find around the areas and 3D print them. But it's not, I mean, it's not technical at all. Literally, you're just kind of like playing through this cartoon and weird shit pops up. You try to scan it while it's trying to kill you. And then you go back to your spaceship, make a new thing. So now you have double jump, or now you have a grappling hook, and then you use it to get further into the level. It's all one big level so far. I've played it for 2-3 hours, and I think it's just going to continue. Like I think it's just this ever expanding. You just keep going further and further away from your spaceship, but you can teleport back when you find these. You know, it's a lot of things that games have already used, but the comedy in this game is pretty great. The little AI in your ear is always putting you down. The commercials that play on the TV in your thing are hilarious, really good. I almost posted one in the Discord today. I'll do it later. And just the weirdness and the colors and the graphics. It's a good game. I like it. I'm not going to say it's like fucking one of the best things I've ever played, but good way to spend some time. I would say... if anything I've said sounds cool, just take a look at it. And if that looks good, the gameplay is not going to disappoint. Like the gameplay is pretty good. Like it's up to par with what you're seeing. It's just a cool looking game.
How much is this game?
I got it cheap. It's on sale right now.
Okay. It's on sale for $18. Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. $18. And it looks AAA-ish, you know, AA at least. So, the other thing that I played, and it's funny because I bought this after, every once in a while, the planets align and me and JP Diddy can play for a little bit. And, one of the games that we go to sometimes is Borderlands, but we just finished the, Love and Tentacles DLC. And so we bought the, Bounty of Blood, DLC. Bobby. Listen to this. Dinosaurs. Cowboys. Put them together. That's basically what's going on, man. So it's like the Wild West. I got a little bit of like Firefly from it. Because you're still a space-faring civilization. And you get there and it's just kind of like a old hick town. And people ride dinosaurs instead of horses. And the antagonist... is a super hot chick babe, that one, who is kind of like this dinosaur whisperer. She whistles to them and they listen to her. And I haven't seen a bad guy this interesting for a while. And the setting is fucking great. Like Love and Tentacles was just like, the whole thing was like a joke on Lovecraftian shit. And this is like a more serious tone about it. It still has that Borderlands funniness to it, but I can't wait to dive into this one. Yeah, really cool. Good. Really, really fucking cool. Me and Bob were just like, or me and John were like, hey, look at that thing. Hey, look at over there. Hey, look at over there. While we're just trying to get introduced to the world. I hope it's a long one. It's probably not very long, but I hope it's...
How much are their DLCs usually?
$15.
Well, I meant in length.
Oh.
How long are
they? I want to say I got 4 or 5 hours out of Blood and Tentacles. Love and Tentacles. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Dude, I totally forgot there was a Borderlands 3. When I saw this, I was like, oh, there's a new Borderlands game. Like, I just totally... I haven't played a Borderlands since Borderlands 2, like one of the DLCs. I think I played a little bit. It's been a while. But they always do find interesting things. They do a good job with their DLC, even though I don't really care for their games.
Yep. All right.
All right. Is it time for listener questions?
I believe it is.
Okay, let's see what we got. I don't think we've got a lot this week.
We don't. We have two.
So I blame you, the audience.
Yep, it's all your fault.
But the ones we do have are, one of them is extremely long. Let me see if I can read it from all the way over here. Old Man Dave asks, have you ever stopped playing a game for an unusual reason, like a change in the story you didn't like or something that wasn't even the game's fault? For example, I played Anthem when it first came out and really enjoyed it, but after playing I would start to have neck pains the next day. I didn't think too much about it at first. I'm getting up there in age and weird pains are a thing. Then one day I noticed while I'm fighting with the Interceptor, I would constantly bob my head back and forth. I stopped playing that day and didn't have the issue again.
Old Man Dave, you're a crazy person. There has been games that, like, I walk away hurting more than other games. That's for sure.
Like, physically?
Yeah, physically. Hmm. I can't think of one, but I was like, what is this weird thing that's happening? It has happened, though. I'm not sure what it is. Hmm. As far as quitting a game.
Quitting a game for a weird reason.
Yeah.
I always quit games for the normal reason. Like, I just don't like them anymore, or... I play too much of them, and I'm like, oh, this has got to stop.
What's his name? Manny Del Macho. I'll never forget this. It's like stands out to me so much. He played Pyre,
mm-hmm.
The Supergiant game, and he was at a certain point in the story, he was presented with a choice. He had to make a choice between A or B. He didn't like either one of the options, so he just stopped playing the game. He's just like, I enjoy this game, but I'm not going to answer that question. So he just stopped playing. Uninstall. Right there. Boom.
Wow. Yeah, that is a weird reason to stop.
Not only am I going to quit, I'm going to take my ball, and this game is going to cease to exist. Yeah. You know what I mean? I quit playing. Smite used to be me and Bobby's life, dude. But I basically quit because... the lows were so much lower than the highs. I don't think it's a weird reason. I think it's a realization that a lot of people come up with. But, yeah, it wasn't worth it. Like, 3 wins wouldn't equal 1 loss. Mm-hmm. And that's not cool because I 4 games that I just mentioned, you're talking about 2 hours, 3 hours of your life.
They were long games, man. MOBAs were always so long. Well, I mean, yeah. Heroes of the Storm, they got it down to like half an hour, but still, it's just... so time consuming those games.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like that's a normal reason to quit playing a game.
Yeah, for sure. And the other one was like, not World of Warcraft, but EverQuest just consumed my life. I had to quit. And I kind of went from, my whole life changed after that, man. I sold my account. I guess that's part of the reason. I knew how much money I could get for my account. And I was like, I'll get $2,400. I'll be able to pay for my LASIK surgery. And then I stopped wearing glasses for 20 years. It was the best money I've ever spent. Mm-hmm. Then I moved to San Diego. Like, my whole life changed because I quit playing EverQuest.
There's a documentary. I can't remember what it's called, but it's a documentary about people who are addicted to EverQuest. And it's very amateur. It looks like almost like a student film or something, but it's actually pretty interesting. I posted it in the Discord, not the Discord, the Steam group. That's how long ago I posted this. It was a long time ago.
Jesus.
It's there somewhere, but it was actually a pretty good documentary. But it's so strange because, like, who would be addicted to EverQuest nowadays? I don't think that's, like, it couldn't even be possible right now. I don't know.
Well,
and even with WoW, there's so many fail safes, or there's so many things like in there that kind of prevent people from, well, I don't know. They put them in there to like try to slow people down and they can't spend too much time each day, but then people just hop on another character and do the same thing. But yeah, like I said, I feel like that's a perfectly reasonable reason to stop playing a game. But I cannot think, it was a long time ago, dude. You got to go way back. It was a post in the Steam group where it was about like, really good gaming documentaries or videos or something like that. And I think I had one about articles.
Nick's never fucking quit a video game, so he doesn't know.
No, yeah. I have. So my answer to this is Fable 2, of all things. And for some odd reason, I used to grip the Xbox controller because someone let me borrow their Xbox. I used to grip it like a Gretchen, and like my middle finger would go over the top to press like the trigger, and my pointer finger would hit like the bumper. So I'd be like, I'd play it like this, dude. And I'm like, yeah, I don't like this controller. This is stupid. And like, the tip of my middle finger just hurt. Like, I was like, I gotta stop playing this game. My finger feels like it's gonna fall off.
Only and that game you would play that way?
Yeah, because like, I think it was left trigger to sprint, and there was no reason not to sprint in that game. And so you're just constantly holding down the trigger to sprint.
Your story is better than ours.
I was just like,
okay, maybe I didn't post this in the Steam group. Maybe I just watched it on my own. I thought I posted it there. It's on YouTube. Like, if you look up EverQuest documentary, it's got to be out there somewhere. Maybe I saw it off of someone else's list. It's old, man. It's like, you know, I mean, it was made when, like, EverQuest was still a thing. So it's pretty damn old. Yeah, dude, like, physical pain from playing video games. I don't know if I get that. I do get that a lot just in general because I'm on the computer a lot, video editing or playing the piano. Like, all that's just wreaks havoc on your fingers.
Yeah.
But the worst is when I'm on my laptop. I noticed that, like Nick, I was getting pain in my middle finger after a while. And I realized when I use my laptop, it's got a trackpad, and I use the middle finger on the trackpad all the time. So...
You guys have some weak-ass hands, man.
Yeah. We don't, I don't know. My job and, like, literally everything I do in my life has to do with, like, me doing, like, small, tiny muscle movements with my hand, dude. Like, my job and my, hobbies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, literally everything.
It's a lot.
Gonna have carpal tunnel pretty soon.
Yeah.
All right. Next question comes from Sheer Pwnage. Man, he is really looking for this documentary. All these videos totally look like it too, man. Like, they look like a clip out of it. God, it was pretty good. I wish I'll have to search for it. Cause I remember. It being
Wait, what's
good.
This? Robert's EverQuest 2 Addict. Dude, is this documentary about you?
I never played EverQuest. So no, probably not.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Looks like a young,
did you see
young
Bobby
Robert
as
Digital?
A young robot?
Okay, next question from Sheer Pwnage. How would you go about convincing a console player in making the switch to PC gaming?
It's a huge jump, man, and I wouldn't even make that recommendation unless I knew that it was perfect for that person. Like, you know what I mean?
I've kind of stopped trying to sell people on it, you know. It seems like it's, like most things, it's a thing you need to discover yourself.
Yeah, man, because it's like, say it was bungee jumping. You could come out to my bungee jump and like use my gear, and if you love it, you love it, and you jump into it. For a PC, I'm not going to give you my PC and have it in your house for like whatever amount of time so you can get the idea. Yeah, you could play it on my house, but it's not the same thing. It's like it takes up a part of your household, like a percentage of it is dedicated to this one thing.
It's furniture.
It's furniture. It's an area. It's a walled off area for work and fun. And that area used to be in every house because every house had a computer desk. Mm-hmm. Now that's gone because everybody's using laptops
and tablets.
Yeah, and tablets. Yeah. So you not only do you have to dedicate $3,000, $2,000 at least.
Well, you can play a lot of games on pretty cheap computers, though.
With you got to buy a box. We're talking about peripherals, you know, everything. You got to starting from scratch, $2,000.
Yeah, but most people aren't going to like jump in and build some $2,000-$3,000 gaming computer, though. I don't think that's going to.
If you're doing it, jumping from console, getting into PC, you're talking $2,000, dude.
$2,000? Nah,
you don't own anything.
$2,000. Well, I don't know. Video cards are pretty expensive. Everything's pretty expensive right now because prices are gouged. But I don't think that's. I think that's part of it. I think like the price is, but I don't think that's really it. I think people are scared to build their own computer. Like, it's very intimidating to, like, put all those parts. No, does it work? And if it doesn't, then who do I turn to? Or what can I do? And, yeah, there's places out there where you can have them build it and send it to you. And, you know, a lot of those are pretty good. But, you know, they may not really know about that. I don't know, man. Like, I'd be interested to hear from console gamers that have turned to PC. I know they're out there. We've talked to them before.
Nick.
Yeah, I don't know, like, what was the...
Thanks, Bobby.
...the straw that broke the camel's back. You know, what eventually... made them make that decision.
And now this PC nerd has all these console tattoos all over his body, and he's fuck.
What are you talking about? I got tattoos of everything, man. You know, as someone who was like, it's all about PlayStation, there's nothing better than PlayStation. The thing that did break this, like, broke the straw on the camel's back is such a weird thing. And it was, at the time I worked for Sears, and
Best Buy.
There was this I worked at Sears, then I worked at Best Buy, but I worked at Sears, and there was a shipping error on an item, and that item was an Asus gaming laptop, and we didn't have the ability to sell it. Like as weird as that sounds, like we didn't have the ability, like we didn't have a place to put it, and so we put it in like the used laptop like area. And so eventually in that area, if nothing moved for like 3 or 4 months, it would be put on clearance. And then if it wasn't sold for another 2 months, it'd be put on closeout. Well, nobody knew it was there, and it just sat in the back of the fucking shelf. And we're literally cleaning out the the area, and my boss is like, hey, anyone want a gaming laptop? And it was at the point of like not being sold where the manager can name the price, even if it was at a loss. And I was like, oh, I'll buy it for $300. Right. Like just as a joke. And he was like, deal. And so that little taste of like, I went from playing, you know, Call of Duty every day on a PlayStation and a bunch of other stuff to, like just getting a taste, like it's a gaming laptop. Like you got to plug it into a fucking wall, else the battery's gonna be gone in like 30 seconds, and your lap's gonna light on fire. But it was fucking it was so worth it. I was like, I think what I'm gonna do. The next step was I bought a pre-built computer and I just replaced the graphics card. And then after that was building my own computer, and then after that was building another computer, and that's the one I have now. And so. I've went at the steps of, you know, computer lifestyle and having everything. The one thing is price. Like I work with a guy right now, and he's like, and not to his discredit, but he's like, yo man, PlayStation's the best. All I do is play Madden. All I do is play this and that. He's like, I want to play computer, but I can't afford it. All this stuff. And he's like, but taxes are coming in though. So I think I'm going to buy a computer. And he's like, yo, tell me all the games you play and all this stuff. And I was like, all right. I told him everything. He's like, yeah, I'm definitely going to get a computer. And like, I think one of the main things nowadays is just money. Like, it hands down is money.
Told you, Bobby. By his one item.
How much does a PlayStation 4 cost?
It's $600, dude, versus $2,000. It's four times the price.
PlayStation 5, the newest one, is $399.
I didn't build my computer for $2,000-$3,000. Well, I don't know. If you need a monitor and all the peripherals.
That's what I'm saying, dude. You're yeah, dude. Starting from scratch.
People aren't going in. Like, look at Nick's story. Like, he got a gaming laptop for $300. Then he bought another computer.
He got super
That's
lucky.
Exactly what I did. Well, I didn't buy a gaming laptop, but I did what he did. I got, like, a pre-built computer, and I threw a graphics card in it. Then I was like, maybe I can replace some other parts. But then I figured, I'll just build my own. Like, you work up to it. I mean, you can just like flat out buy a whole new thing.
That's what Ray did. I think he spent like $3,000 or $4,000 his first rig.
Did he build his own or did he buy a pre-built?
He bought a pre-built.
I'm sure money is a big factor, but I think a lot of people are just scared of having something that they don't know how it works and could break and they don't know how to fix it or troubleshoot it. Or like put it together themselves. I think that's far more scary. Like, I think people would have no problem spending that money if they were sure, like, oh, I just push a button and it turns on. You know what I'm saying? Like, people have no problem like shelling out money for consoles and games and peripherals.
It's more, I don't know if I spend all this money and it's not guaranteed that I'm going to like this whole new thing. That's the riskier thing.
Well, that leads me to another question. I wonder if people switch late in their lives, because as you get older, you kind of get settled in whatever path you've chosen.
Yeah.
And if you are settled in console gaming, you're probably conditioned to like those types of games. And I am conditioned. I really like PC games. I can't even describe the difference between PC and console very well, but I know there's a difference and I immediately like reject anytime I play a game that like resembles something kind of like console. I'm like something inside me just pulls away from it. So I don't know if like you can even really switch late in your life.
I think, you know, what's funny, Bobby, is like, I think it was like 5 or 6 episodes ago. You were like, you know, my hands don't really work with these joysticks.
No. Well, I stopped playing console when the analog.
There was no joysticks in the middle of the analog. I was like, oh boy. I have the opposite effect where I was locked into PlayStation until literally I was like 19 years old. And then it was like, nah, like PC's the way to go. Like I still always bought a PlayStation, and that's because I've been financially responsible to be able to afford that kind of stuff. And then like even in this situation right now, it's like my wife has another computer and like, well, the work computer is not ours, but we have like desks for both computer. We have a PlayStation 4. We're trying to get a PlayStation 5, but am I locked? If you put a gun to my head and you're like, which one are you going to stay with? I'm definitely PC gaming.
You know? Yeah. It's so much better for multiplayer too. I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we like PC gaming over here at the PC Gaming Podcast. At our PC Gaming Podcast. Although I will say, you know, playing so much console lately, playing The Last of Us 2, I've continued to play. I'm just not bringing it up right now. By the way, Nick, you know that Hillcrest area? Do you know what I'm talking about when I say Hillcrest in Last of Us 2? The end of that, when you do that on rails part in the car, in the escape, it's never been done better, dude. The on-rails fucking... Usually, it's like, jump in the main gun, fucking shoot these things, and it doesn't matter if you shoot them or not. This thing, dude, it was like... It was so crazy. You're fucking trying to get away from these army dudes, but your perspective is changing constantly. They're, like, jumping on the car, and you have to fucking, like, try to shoot at them this way, and if you don't kill them, you're going to die. Not like a lot of these games where it's like perpetual damage to your car or whatever. No, it felt so fucking real. And then just the action sequence itself, at the end of it, I was like, like I had to, it was so tense, dude. I had a puckered butthole. It was so, so well done.
Not to get too much into that, but everybody credits like the action scenes in The Last of Us and Last of Us 2 from Drake's Uncharted Fortune or whatever it is.
Yeah.
The other game that Naughty Dog makes, because that was like the cinematic game. They were like, you know what? We're going to make a movie and we're going to make a game inside of the movie.
Yeah.
But all that writing, all that action sequence and stuff was put into The Last of Us as well. So it's such an amazing game because of it.
Yeah, dude. The action sequence, just the chase. There are things that are done in video games all the time. A chase sequence. Things are chasing you. Okay, easy. Making it feel real and making it feel like if life or death, if I go left or right, and making it really feel like you got to move your ass. fucking, it totally works, man. It just works. They fucking pulled it off. I was going to say, I think you could switch late in life, Bobby, because like it, console gaming fits my lifestyle so much better right now because of where it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can watch the baby and play. You can't really do that on a PC, at least not in the garage, at least not right now. It's like the PC gaming is like a different universe, might as well. And people just keep opening the door.
Yeah, I mean, part of that's kind of the way dog's on fire, though. I mean, you've got your computer set up in the garage far away from everything else that's happening in there. But I do see what you're saying. Yeah, it's very different. And I think we're ignoring a large population of people who do both. Like, it's not a this or that situation. There are a lot of people. In fact, I'd say most PC gamers play console probably, as well. Yeah,
especially Switch, which is, you know, it's the PC gamer's console, I feel like. But yeah, thanks for the questions, man. Those were good, thought-provoking questions.
All right. We're about at the end here. What's everybody playing next week?
Nick, how much further do I have? So I went through...
You're now farther than me, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I know exactly what you were talking about, and I haven't got there myself.
Okay.
I'm about like 30 minutes away from it, but you're now farther than me. I'll actually try to play The Last of Us myself this week because I have a 4-day weekend. So, yeah, we'll see.
I'll continue playing that. I'm going to play Slasher's Keep, and I'm going to play more Journey to the Planet.
If you guys play Valheim, I'll play with you as well.
Yeah, me too. I'm down. It's weird, man. Like, now that I'm working 6 to 2, I don't know what, I mean, obviously I still have all my responsibilities at the house, but I'll actually be able to get them done and then maybe have free time. It's mind blowing. It's been a year since I've had free time. So I don't know how it's going to play out.
Exciting new chapter.
Yeah.
I might check out Doom RL Arsenal and Doom RPG. We'll see. Or I don't know. When I was loading it up, even before I was tinkering with the mods, I was in like just the normal Doom levels and just like, oh God, these really were great games. I mean, I've played through Doom recently, like in the recent past, you know, when John Romero had those new levels out, Sigil, I played those. And like as old as that game is, like I still really enjoy it. So I don't know, man. I just may say, screw the mods. I'm going to play Doom 2. Doom 2, or maybe I'll play like some Hexen or some Duke Nukem 3D.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
We're ecstatic, if you could tell.
Yeah.
Nick, did you answer?
Yeah, I already answered. I was going to play Last of Us and then try to play Valheim.
Cool. All right, so PC Gaming Podcast, where two of us will be playing consoles. All right. Speaking for Bobby, Chris, Nick, and myself, shit, zombie tits?
Uninspired.
Uninspired tits. One's longer than the other. It's awful. It resembles socks, rocks and socks. Bye, everybody.